Habakkuk chapter number 3, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I've heard thy speech. How long has it been since you heard him? I mean, since you heard him. Since you had your Bible open or you were sitting in a service or the choir was singing a song and you heard him. You heard him speak to you. Habakkuk said, O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. It's revival time at Bible Way, a time we've set aside to turn our hearts and our minds towards the Lord. But we desperately need, I didn't say they, we desperately need a revival of the fear of God. We're living in a generation, not too many people fear the Lord. Yet the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning. You think you're smart? You ain't even started towards smartness unless you fear the Lord. He said, I was afraid, O Lord. And then he said this, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known in wrath. Remember mercy. That's our text this morning, and I want to talk to you a little bit about revival. You can be seated. Would you please pray with us and pray for us? Our Father, I want to thank you this morning for my people. But Lord, more than that, I want to thank you for your presence. I want to thank you, Lord, that the Word of God, even in what we would call maybe a modern world, still has old-time power. Could still get the job done in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you for this prophet of God, Habakkuk, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for how you worked in these three little chapters in his life and how that, Lord, you preserved it all of these years so that a country preacher could sit down and pray over it and study it and you could work in my life as well. God, I pray this morning for those that are here that know you, Lord, that truly there might be a revival among us. God, that we might not only set aside our will for this hour, but Lord, tonight, just come on back, Lord, and help us to do that. And Lord, just see what you might do in our hearts and in our lives. God, as we head out this afternoon, I pray, Lord, you'll lead our steps. I pray, Lord, right now, if there's someone in our midst that does not know you, and Lord, we know there is, because, Lord, they've been gracious enough to tell us, I don't know the Lord. We pray for them, Lord. We pray, God, you'll work in their hearts and in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to say three things about revival. And I trust that God will use it in our hearts and in our lives to whet our appetite. I don't know what's going on in Brother Coulter's life, in his heart right now. But I think I have a little bit of an inkling from a couple of things that he said to me. Things like, Pastor, there may not be much rejoicing going on during the meeting, but revival really doesn't come during the meeting. It comes after the meeting. And so I believe that Brother Coulter will be right down where we live. I believe God will give him exactly what we need. And you notice I didn't say you. I'm going to sit right there and I'm going to do my best to be a sponge. I want to soak up everything God has for me. Amen. And I want to be more like Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of the one who died for me. In the text today, I want you to notice just a couple of things before I get into these three points that the Lord has put in my heart. Oh Lord, there's a desperation. I've heard thy speech. There'll never be a revival without hearing from heaven. We must hear from heaven. I believe on any given Sunday, many people hear the voice of the pastor, but they don't hear the voice of the Lord. You see, you can't grieve the Lord all week and then come in and sit down for 30 minutes and expect to hear Him in that 30 minutes. The Christian life is not a one-day-a-week life, amen? It's every day, every day, every moment of every day we're His. And the Bible said here, O Lord, revive thy work. And here's what I want you to remember. Brother Coulter's coming tonight, but it's not Brother Coulter's work. And it's not pastor's work. Revival is the work of God. Amen. This church is not pastor's church. It's a church where I have the privilege to pastor, but it's the Lord's church. Amen. And it's the Lord's work. And then he said, in the midst of the years, I'll touch on this later, but there's a time involved. You see, God, before He ever formed the earth, knew about these days that would be set aside for revival meeting at Bible Way Baptist Church. He knew about it before I did. He knew about it many, many years ago. But I want you to know this. He has a time frame in Habakkuk's life, and He has one in ours. He said, in the midst of the years, make known. You know what we need to pray for? That God will just make Himself known. Amen. If you only knew this morning, I think there was a song sung along those lines last Sunday. If you only knew how much He loved you. If you only knew, beloved, the price that was paid so that you wouldn't have to go to that awful place called hell, so that you could have a place, a home in heaven. If you only knew. You say, well, Pastor, I know. It's one thing to know in our mind. It's another thing to know in our heart. The Bible said here, in the midst of the years, make known. And then in wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk had lived at a time during a period of national revival. There was a time in America when America as a nation was a lot closer to God than she is right now. Now, Habakkuk is under an intense burden. And the reason for that is because he knows judgment is coming. Now, I don't want to rain on your parade this morning, but I'm going to make a statement. Hang around a little while if Jesus don't come and see if I'm not telling the truth. Judgment is coming. We have spit in God's face as a nation. We're teeter-tottering right now on abandoning Israel. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen to me. We better wake up. We better not have our head in the sand. I believe it's possible to watch. God gave me this statement last night. I believe it's possible to watch too much news. I do. But let me give you another statement. Here's what God gave me last night. I believe it's possible to not watch enough. There's some people tell me, I never watch the news. I don't want to know. How in the world are you going to get under a burden if you don't know what's going on? I begin to think about things like this. It's one thing when you turn the news on and somebody's come across the border and they're carrying fentanyl across the border. It's one thing to know, beloved, that there are thousands of people each year dying because of fentanyl. But what if it's your boy? What if it's your brother? What if it was your daddy? Are you listening to me this morning? It's one thing, beloved, when you see Habakkuk is under a burden. And this brings me to the first point in the message. Revival is prefaced by a burden. There'll always be a burden that will come before revival comes. And there's a reason for the burden. Judgment is coming. Look over, if you will, please, in chapter number 1. Not going to read all of this, but look at verse number 5. The voice of Jehovah, talking about Israel among the nations. They're going to be dispersed. They're going to be judged because of their sin. Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Do you understand that God, in this text, Habakkuk is under a burden in verse number 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He is under a burden because he understands that the nation and the people that he loves dearly are fixing to be judged, amen, by a heathen nation. I don't know about you, beloved. Listen to me. I don't want to see America judged by a heathen nation. But revival comes when people get under a burden. Oh God, help our people, help our churches, help our communities, help our schools, help our country. Amen. Habakkuk here, there's a reason Nehemiah keeps coming to my mind. I was reading in Nehemiah chapter 1 last night. Another great man of God that got under an intense burden. He read about his city. That he read about how the walls were destroyed, how it was burned down, and how the people, beloved, were in bondage, and it burdened him. Amen. Revival is always prefaced by a burden. There was trouble. There was sin everywhere. Notice, if you will, turn to chapter number 2. I'm just going to give you a few things quickly. The Bible said here in verse number 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not right in him. You say, Pastor, what is that? That's pride. We're eat up with it. In verse number 5, yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied. We're living in a world where people are not satisfied with anything. But thank God Almighty, I'm a Christian, and I'm satisfied to know that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. In verse number 6, shall not all these take up a parable against him, taunting proverb. Woe to him that increases that which is not his. See, if you were watching any news at all, you'd understand now that, listen, these people have got cell phones, and they'll get on a cell phone and make a little video and tell people all you got to do is find a house that's empty, and the laws in America makes it possible for you just to move in, and they can't move you out. I'm telling you what, I'm going to jail, beloved, if somebody's moved in my house when I get home. Say amen. Something's going to give, amen. And I'm not waiting on a piece of paper for it to happen. Just look at it and look at today's generation. The Bible said, look in verse number 8, because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood and for the violence of the land. Do you see violence anywhere? I tell you, you can watch too much news, but there are people probably sitting here this morning that don't have any idea that it's dangerous to walk down the street in New York City. Somebody can walk up behind you and just cold-cock you for no reason whatsoever. So somebody else can make a video of it and they can brag about it. You say, Pastor, that don't concern me. Let me tell you something I've been saying for years. Watch the city now to be in the country tomorrow. Never, 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 never in the country like where we live did we think we'd be dealing with the things that was going on in California 20 years ago, but it's here. It's here. Sin. This man is burdened. Revival's always prefaced by a burden. Verse 12, woe unto him that buildeth a town with blood and establishes a city by iniquity. You see, we've got mayors all over America that's taking the people's money. Amen. Going on vacation and doing things, beloved, with the people. I'm talking about with taxpayers' money. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, that's just the mayor. Well, let me tell you something. The United States government's doing the same thing. They're taking the money and they're wasting it. They're squandering it. Are you listening to me, beloved? Listen, I found out years ago, I got hurt. I broke my back. I had two children. I sent my wife to Abingdon, Virginia to see if we could get some help. I'm in a back brace now. My back is broke. And they said he owns a pickup truck. If he'll sell his truck, we'll give you $150 a month. You know what I told my wife? I said, tell him I'm going to keep my truck. They can keep their $150. And beloved, 2 weeks after I got out of the hospital, I went back to work in a back brace trying to make a living. You say, why? Because it's easier, beloved, for somebody that will not work than somebody that cannot work. He was under a burden. Your pastor is under a burden. There's a burden. Beloved, we need help. We need revival. We need God to revive His work in the midst of the years. Amen. There's always prefaced by a burden. Look at verse 15. Woe unto them that give his neighbor drink, that putteth the bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Summertime's coming, nakedness will be everywhere. You know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. Drunkenness everywhere. Spring break. I thank God for young people that's not going to put that bottle. You'll never have to worry about being a drunk if you don't put the first drop to your lips. You'll never have to worry about being a pothead if you never suck on one joint. You'll never have to worry about dying of fentanyl if you'll just leave the pills alone. I'm under a burden. A burden. Nehemiah was under a burden. Habakkuk was under a burden. Revival is prefaced by a burden. The Bible said in verse 17, the violence of Lebanon, violence everywhere. Now let me give you this. Some reasons why God allows us to see iniquity. Look at verse 2 of chapter 1. O Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Look at verse 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For the spoiling and the violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked. How many believes we're heading at a breakneck speed towards total lawlessness? It's creeping in. It's creeping in. I tell you, I thank God for what God's called me to do. But I thank God for our law enforcement. Years ago, I made it a point in my life to shake hands, to speak to the veterans, and thank them for their service to our country. But just several years ago, I began including law enforcement in that. You couldn't pay me to put a badge on, even though I'm a good shot. When you put a badge on nowadays, you're a target. Have you noticed nowadays, beloved, that, and I think it's wise, usually you don't have one police car behind somebody pulled over, two or three now. I think that's wise. I drove up on one the other day and there was a police officer on this side of the car and one on this side of the car. I say amen. Take care of yourself, boys, any way you can. Amen. Go home to your family at night. But we're living in a generation they just soon put a pistol in your face and blow your brains out. Amen. Nehemiah is under a burden. Habakkuk is under a burden for revival. It's prefaced by a burden. Why did God let him see these things? Why does God let us see iniquity in ourselves? Number one, to keep us humble. You see, you can be full of pride and see somebody else's iniquity. But when you look in that mirror and see your own, it'll humble you. It also to keep us submissive to Him in the hour of trouble. It makes us value His salvation when we can see our own iniquity. Why does God allow us to see the iniquity in others? I love this, to show us what we might have been ourselves. Meadowview, Virginia. My dad and I were going to the job one morning. There was a guy right out in the middle of the intersection. He was all by himself, but he didn't know it. The Bible talks about as one that beateth the air. There he was, right out in the middle of the intersection in Meadowview, Virginia. My dad looked over at me in the seat. I was weeping, Brother Randall. Daddy said, "What's wrong, son?" I said, "Daddy, it's the grace of God. It ain't me." You see, I experimented with things when I was a teenager. And had I liked them, I'd have went down that road. Are you listening to me? It's the grace of God, beloved, when you're looking at somebody else's iniquity, that it's not you. Moms and dads and mamas and papas, it's the grace of God, it's not your children. It's the grace of God, it's not your grandchildren. Don't look down that nose at others. Pray for revival. Get under a burden. God can change hearts. And He can change lives. God allows us to see it in others to show us what we might have been ourselves. Helps us to see the wickedness of sin that we might pass by it and hate it and not indulge in it ourselves. Someone said, a wise man learns by his mistakes. I want to break this down for teenagers. Wise teenagers learn from their mistakes. But let me tell you who a wiser teenager is. Don't have to make the mistake themselves. They can learn by looking at the mistake somebody else made. And I'm telling you, if you're a parent and you've ever said something like this, while they need to sow their wild oats, I did, you're out of your mind. They sow the wild oats like we did, they'll carry the scars we carry. Why would anybody that loves their youngins want them to carry the scars that we carry? And then to make us see the wickedness of sin, make us admire the grace of God. Listen to this. Spurgeon said this. He said, "Ah, my brethren, we need to know more of the evil of men to make us more earnest in seeking their salvation. For if there be anything in which the church is lacking more than in any other matter, it is a matter of earnestness." I believe that. We're lacking in that matter of earnestness. Do you earnestly want to see others trust Christ? Revival is prefaced by a burden. Secondly, in the message today, revival is possible through brokenness. If it was your daughter, our government has just left the door wide open. And I'm going to make a statement. You can say whatever you want to, but it's on purpose. They're hoping that one day they won't be a bunch of illegal immigrants. They'll be a bunch of voters. That's exactly what they're hoping for. And I'm going to tell you something. We shouldn't have to wait for it to happen in our home to be broken over it. There's young ladies in America who have been violated. Moms whose hearts are broken. Dads whose hearts are broken. But it shouldn't have to happen in our home for us to be broken over what's going on in our country. We should be broken over the fact that Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, Jesus is lifted up in song. Jesus is preached. How that He died for our sin according to Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to Scripture. And lost people sit there. That ought to break our hearts. It ought to break our hearts, beloved, I want to see the hands of everybody that has a loved one. You're not judging them, but according to their testimony, they're not ready to meet God. Everybody that has a loved one that's not ready to meet God. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time a tear rolled out of that eye? Rolled down off that chin? Truly, it'd be better. Our children never been born than to leave this world without Jesus. Beloved, there's a brokenness here in his life. If you look at chapter 1, verse 2, he said, "Oh Lord." I heard a preacher say this years ago, he said, we need to get the "oh" back in our prayer life. Oh God. There have been times, brother and sister, when I couldn't say nothing else. Oh God. Oh Lord. You say, "Pastor, do you really believe that God pays attention?" The Bible said, "I will draw near to him that is of a broken heart. Him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit." You want God to show up. Then we need that brokenness. Revival is prefaced by a burden, but it's possible through brokenness. Nehemiah was broken. In chapter number 3, Habakkuk is broken. The Bible says, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. And then verse 2, he says, "Oh Lord, I've heard thy speech." You say, "Pastor, what did he hear?" He heard judgment's coming. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe in America, our day's coming. There's no way that we could have that many people coming into our country. We don't know who they are. Even the ones where they might, register them, so to speak. There's so many that come in, they don't even know. I believe as I speak, they come from nations that chant death to America. They hate our guts. They hate our Bible. They hate our churches. They hate this kind of singing. They hate this kind of preaching. I didn't say they disagree with it. I said they hate it. I don't know, but I believe God is telling us through the prophet Habakkuk, we need to be broken. In chapter number 2 and verse number 1, he said, "I will watch. I will stand upon my watch." Are you watching? Are you seeing what's going on? Isaiah in chapter 64, we're talking about brokenness. In verse number 1, he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down." You know what we need? We need God to come down. I don't look forward. Listen to me carefully right here. I don't look forward to getting up. I remember where I was. I was on the parking lot at Cedar View Christian School working underpinning some classrooms. My boy was with me. My wife comes out of the school. She was teaching at the school. And she said, "Honey, our country is under attack." Well, we didn't go in, Brother Shannon, to watch the news right away. We just fell on our faces on the parking lot. My wife told me that they had flown the planes into the towers and that the second tower was hit now. And all we done, we just fell down. And did you notice that in America, it was okay to pray, amen, for a little while? It lasted about 2 weeks or so, amen. Then it's right back to the bickering, right back to the fussing. But I'm going to tell you this. Now, you can hear what I'm going to say, and you can like it or you can not like it. But, beloved, if we get hit, and it causes revival, it causes a brokenness, it causes people to turn to God, it causes people to understand that our pride ain't going to get it done. We're going to have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Then so be it. Many times, Brother Grizzle, God took a heathen nation and he whooped his youngins. They were asleep.
Amen.
I'm telling you, beloved, we have an enemy bigger than the illegals. We have an enemy bigger, beloved, than those that are hell-bent on destroying our country. We have an adversary, the devil. He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
Revival is possible through brokenness. Hosea 10 and verse number 12 said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness on you. Are we seeking him? Are we broken before him? I thought about this. My wife and I guess it's been, I think it was Monday of last week, because there was rain coming, it wasn't really an ideal time, but I told my wife, I said, I don't believe the potatoes will come up for a couple of weeks. I said, let's just go ahead and put some potatoes in the ground, because the rain was coming and the days that looked more favorable to planting potatoes, the ground was going to be soaked. But couldn't you just see me going out there and just laying them taters on the ground? You know what we'd get? Nothing. You know what had to happen before we can have taters later? That hard ground had to be busted up. Thank God for a tractor and a tiller. I went this way and went that way, and I tried my best to make her like sugar, brother. Laid off a row, a string, drug it through there. It's funny how things change.
Amen.
When I was young and Dad wanted me to lay the row off, I didn't need a string. Dad say, son, it's crooked. I said, Dad, you can get more taters in a crooked row.
Amen.
And now I'm Dad's age and I want my row straight. Ain't that awful, Brother Wayne? Amen. I want to lay it out right and do it right. Daddy used to say, son, if it ain't worth doing right, leave it alone. Let somebody else do it. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. We need that fallow ground broken up. If our hearts have become hard, the revival starts in God's people.
Amen.
If we're not praying like we should, we're not reading like we should, we're not witnessing like we should, we need God to drop that plow. I believe that's what God's going to do in this revival meeting. I believe God's going to let Brother Calder drop the plow and plow in our hearts, plow in our lives. I'm not going to resist that. That's what I want God to do in my life. See, because if we get tilled up real good, you know what will happen? We can have some fruit in our lives. The revival, normally the fruit doesn't come during the revival. Normally it comes after the revival. Let me give you one more thing. It's already after 12 o'clock. Revival is prefaced by a burden. Revival is possible through brokenness. Let me show you this. Turn to Isaiah, please, chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. I do need to show you this. It's important. Isaiah chapter number 64 and verse number 6. Isaiah, the man of God, the prophet, is speaking. And he said in verse number 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Look at verse 7. And there is none. I don't want God to say that about Bible Way. There's none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Think about that for just a moment. Isaiah, he was broken. And he said, I looked around and there was no one that stirred themselves up to take hold of thee. Now, we've gotten through two things. Revival is prefaced by a burden. It's possible through brokenness. But I want to give you the best. I saved the best for last, okay? Revival is pictured in a blessing. I want you to see the picture of revival in the book of Habakkuk and a couple other places real quickly. Chapter number 2, verse number 14. Look at the picture here. The Bible said, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Right in the middle of all these woes and everything that's wrong, Habakkuk remembers. Let me tell you something right now. This will encourage you. It ain't always going to be this way. There's coming a day when the earth will be full of His glory. Amen. There's coming a day when the lion will lay down with the lamb and a child will play on the hole of the asp. There's coming a day when the trees of the field will clap their hands because they're out from under the curse. Amen. And beloved, there'll be no more curse, the Word of God said. And that day is coming for the children of God. Revival is pictured in a blessing. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 20. You had all of these woes and all of these things are wrong. But the Bible said, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. You say, Pastor, where's the blessing in all of this? Honey, I tell you, you do need to watch a little news. But let me tell you this. You do need to keep up with what's going on in the world. But don't let it block your vision of what's going on at the throne. Amen. Our God is still on the throne. Our God is still in control. You say, Pastor, I'm worried about the money. It looks like they're headed towards a one world currency. It looks like they're headed towards a one world government. You say, amen, amen, amen. Oh, don't be worried about it, honey. God said it's going to happen. And what God's saying is the king's on his way. The king is coming. Amen. That's the blessing of revival, when you can see past the problems and past the sin and past the degradation of mankind and see the Savior that's still on His throne. He's not budged. He's still right there. Look at chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. No matter how bad it gets. Verse number 16, when I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in my cell, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When He cometh up unto the people, He will invade them with His troops. Look at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom. Watch this now. You know what Habakkuk is saying? God's done told me, gonna get bad. The fig tree's not gonna blossom. Neither shall the fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. The fields shall yield no more. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Habakkuk says, it's going to get bad. God done told me. And by the way, if God tells you something, honey, you can mark her down. Say amen. It's going to get bad. You say, where's the blessing? Look at verse 18. Yet, glory to God, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen. It don't matter how bad it gets. I'm still saved. I'm still on my way to heaven. Salvation is by grace through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad, thank God, it doesn't matter how dark. It doesn't matter how bad. It doesn't matter how sinful mankind becomes. There's still a Savior sitting on the throne. And He's still in control. Let me show you something here. Revival is prefaced by a burden. Are you burdened? Revival is possible through brokenness. Are you broken? Revival is pictured in a blessing. Beloved, when we experience revival, we will be blessed. Look at verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. I was going to get Brother Richard to play us a video this morning, but I really just changed my mind, but I got on the internet and what's that next statement right there? He will make my feet like hinds' feet. That's like a deer's feet. Let me tell you something. I saw something one time. It was so funny. If you could imagine this rail right here being a fence. I've seen many deer go over a fence like that. My buddy and myself, we were standing in a place. They hadn't opened deer season in that county at that time. It was Dickinson County, Virginia. And the deer were just standing there looking at us. And we hollered, said, "Would you go on?" They just stood there and looked at us. And I said, "Watch this, Brother Wayne." And I took the key to my vehicle, and I just touched it to the glass. Tick, honey, it was on like Donkey Kong. Amen. You say, "What'd that sound like?" Sound like safety going off on a gun.
Amen.
Them deer ain't stupid. Amen. But that deer was standing there by that fence. He said he'd make our deer, our feet like hinds' feet. And that deer didn't back up and go like, that deer went boing. I never seen anything like it in my life. Amen. You talking about being light on your feet. Amen. That deer was light. You know, if we'd have revival, we'd be light on our feet.
Amen.
But before we get light on our feet, we're going to have to get heavy in our heart.
Yeah.
We're going to have to seek the Lord. Back to Isaiah, and I'm done. Excuse me, finished. Amen. Aaron, you won't have to worry about her if I don't get my English right. It'd be me has to worry about her. Amen. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8 and 9. I love the word "but" in the Bible, don't you? Remember what we read to you? There's none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee in verse 7. Look at verse 8. But now, O Lord, here's the blessing. Thou art our Father. Brother Larry, it don't matter what happens. He's still going to be our Father. We're still going to be the clay. I picked out a good man, older than dirt. Amen. We're going to be the clay. He's going to be the potter, regardless of what happens. You say, "Pastor, how do you see the blessing?" Honey, I tell you something right now. We ought to pray. We ought to seek the Lord's face. We ought to pray for revival. We ought to be burdened. We ought to be broken. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. In the midst of that brokenness, get a glimpse of Him, and you'll be blessed. Amen. You will be blessed. But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, and we are the clay. Thou art our potter, and we are the work of Thine hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech Thee. Look at this statement. Brother David, we are Thy people. There's a lot this morning that I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I do know this. I've studied enough to know that God uses heathen nations to judge His people when they won't do the right thing.
Amen.
For years I've been saying there's two things that's kept the judgment hand of God off of America. This is what I believe. A remnant of God's people. When God went down there to judge Sodom, He had to get Lot out. And our stand with Israel. I'll bless them that bless thee. And one of those in big jeopardy right now. And if you'll notice, beloved, even the remnant's getting smaller and smaller. Have you watched enough news the last year or so to understand that the numbers in the churches are going down, down, down? When I told a man how that we got along through COVID, he wanted to know about our finances. He said, how did you all do? I said, "Brother, we didn't miss anything." I said, "There was one month during COVID that we spent $500 more than we took in." I said, "Our people would drive by and drop their tithes and offerings in a 5-gallon bucket in front of the church. There was an hour window when somebody would stand out there." He said, "It's amazing, preacher." He said, "You don't know the churches. You don't know the churches that are about to go under because of COVID." I'm just telling you, God's still on the throne.
Yes,
and through it all, don't ever forget this.
Amen.
Brother Dale, we're His people.
That's right.
So There's some things I'm concerned about, but I'm not concerned about something to eat. David said, I once was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed a begging bread. I'm not concerned about that. Amen. And I want God to help us in revival. It'll start with a burden. It'll graduate into brokenness. But I'm telling you, when it does, there'll be a blessing that you cannot measure. Amen. Amen. We may never have national revival. We may never even have a real community-wide revival. But the challenge this morning is, to you as an individual and to pastor as an individual, do I want revival? Am I willing, amen, to get before God and let the Lord know that I need Him? I'm His people. Let's bow for prayer.